Greetings with grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Easter Sunday is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 16th chapter. And we will read all of that chapter, verses 1 through 20. So that's Mark 16, verses 1 through 20, where we read in the name of our Lord. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them, and they walked, and they went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, no one is like you. No one works like you. And no one is as gracious, kind, or loving. And Father, we see the fruit of your labor completed in the finished work of your Son, rising from the dead and taking us with him. And so it is, Father, thankfully we approach you this day for the glory of this great gift that you have placed in us and with us, that truly follow that, Father, your name would be hallowed. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth, for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. He is risen. And that's the point. He's risen. Death could not hold him. He overcame death. He overcame our sin. He overcame our burdens. He overcame all of these things to give us life. And in him is this tremendous forgiveness, this tremendous grace that makes this transformation complete. All through this Lent, we talked about this transformation that God had worked in us to understand very clearly how God loved us and that he would transform us, that he would bring us into newness of life. And then in Holy Week, we talked about the transformation that we see in Jesus himself, because Jesus, the Lord of glory, comes and arrives, and he arrives very humbly, and he transforms himself, becoming a servant, and he becomes obedient even unto death, the death of the cross, as it says in Hebrews. And now we see the true transformations are one, and they're complete. You see, when he rises from the dead, we heard the words of Charles Wesley. You gotta love those words. So are we now where Christ has led, following our exalted head. It isn't just he that comes forth from the tomb, it is us. We live because he lives. And I'm not gonna go into the details of quantum time, but if you ever wanna investigate that, you can do that. And then you will understand the reality of it. At the moment that that stone is rolled away and he comes back to life, when he is incarnate again, when he comes to that point, you and I, not just him, but the entirety of the human race has now been reborn through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Dying once, as Wesley wrote, he all doth save. So that we would understand and we would know the power of this transformation. And now you can see what happened on Easter morning. Because you recognize that within the human race, it's always been Eve that takes it on the chin. And on the morning of the resurrection, it is a group of women who go to the tomb. It is a group of women that first are able to see that Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, they're scared to death. That's actually, in Greek, this is beautiful. Mark just says they were scared to death. They were scared to death because they really couldn't fully appreciate what had happened. But the angel tells them, you're looking for Jesus, the guy from Nazareth. He's not here. He's risen from the dead, just like he said. Look, you can see. And that's the whole point. Look, you can see. He's risen from the dead. He's risen from the dead. He has risen to restore the fallen race. He has risen to counteract what happened to Adam and Eve. He has risen now to take away death and to bring life. But this time, the life will never end. It's eternal. And that's how it is to be understood. This is the whole thing of understanding everything that he came to do, because he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, quantum time. He has always been this, because it was always God's plan to save us. God is the most maligned figure in human history, which is why people reject him all the time, because they have no understanding of what he's really like. The fault was ours. God made everything perfect for us. But God was not content to allow us to be lost or to lose what he had worked for us. He loved us so greatly that he gave his only begotten Son to suffer and die in our place. And he raised him up in newness of life. And that's what this is all about, is to understand that he came and he made these appearances so that people would see God does not hate humanity. He doesn't despise us in our humanness. He comes to us in our humanness. He embraces our humanness. He sanctifies us through his blood. He makes us whole and gives us peace for eternity. That we understand that we have a place, we have a shelter, we have a hope, that we have a life, and that can never, ever, ever, ever be taken from us. To understand this one thing, the one ally that we have in this world, the one that we can always count on, is our God. And that's what Easter is about. Easter is about this transformation. It's about understanding the glorification of the human being through Jesus Christ. that God has brought and worked this marvelous restoration. But we're being lied to all the time. We're being told all the time that we're a little less than that. No, don't be thinking that way. Don't be thinking of yourself that way. You know, don't be thinking that way. And I'll tell you where that voice comes from. That'll straight out of the pit. Because the reality is that the glory of God is invested in each and every one of us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Dying once, he all doth save. So that we understand, and now, in this day, in this new day, in the dawning of the new day, we see things that we couldn't see before. And what we honestly see is the finished work of Jesus Christ in every human being. We see the astonishing work of God, that God has wrought this gift and he has bestowed it freely upon the human race. And that's the hardest thing for us to understand, because we're like the ladies at the tomb. We're kind of scared to death to think that way. Well, what happens if we start thinking that way? You know, now we could get in a lot of trouble. And Satan comes in and says, don't get too proud. Don't get too full of yourself. Don't do anything like that. No, be full of yourself. Jesus the Christ has filled you through the Holy Spirit. Understand very clearly, you are the gift of God. You are the very image of the Son of the living God. And you approach him now as son, one corporate being in Jesus the Christ. People talk about, now I get so tired of hearing this, we can do it together. Yeah, gag me. The reality of things is that if it's going to be done together, it is done in God through Jesus Christ. He brought us together. He made us to be one. We don't have to make us one. He already did that. What we need to understand is his glory, and to be able to see it and to realize it in one another. And we need to edify and strengthen one another. And we need to understand that this is so beautiful, that it is so attractive, that that is really what people should want. That it's such a beautiful thing, such a marvelous thing. How could it ever be that a person would ever live without it? And this is precisely the point of the gospel. When Jesus comes, he tells his disciples, it's like, you weren't paying attention to what I said? I told you I was going to rise from the dead. And he goes in there and he kind of lets them have it a little bit. You weren't paying any attention. But then he turns around and he tells them very clearly, go into all the world. Now he says, there's no limits anymore. There's no limits. No limits. It doesn't belong to a certain ethnic group. It doesn't belong to a certain group of race, whatever race actually is. It doesn't belong to anything like that. It is a universal message. And we are sent into all of the world. And we're only told to do one thing. And that's not judge the world. We aren't sent to judge the world. He says very clearly, we are sent to preach the gospel to every bit of creation. We're to announce good news. Good news, that's what gospel means. You know, gospel isn't really a word. We kind of like invented that out of English. It just means good news. We're supposed to tell people good news. And they're supposed to see in us good news so that they understand. And he says, the one who believes and is baptized will be saved. He says, that's how easy this is. He says, the one that believes not will be lost, will be condemned. This is how simple it is. He says, but I'm going to equip you. I'm going to equip you with the power of the resurrection. He says, I'm going to give you these signs. They'll follow you wherever you go. And if you ask me for that power, he says, people are going to see this power manifested, and they're going to see this power manifested in you. And as a matter of fact, they won't be able to deny the witness. And you realize that's exactly what happened in the world. Our early church fathers, that's exactly what they did. They weren't scared of anything. They went into the world, they preached the gospel to everybody. The Vikings tried to kill him. They used to wipe him out all the time. You know, they thought it was fun. They were easy to kill. They didn't even fight. But they were shot because those crazy people kept coming back. They kept coming back and coming back and coming back. And they didn't hate them. They didn't hate the Vikings. They loved them. They ministered to them. And finally, one of the Vikings asked him, "Why do you keep coming back?" And he told him, "Because God really loves you, and we love you too." And you realize the reason why those Vikings were over here, they went to Canada, you know, and places like that. They went to Greenland. I hate to tell you, all those people, they were all Christians. People in history don't like to tell you this. What they were looking for was people to preach to, because they understood the gospel. Now they got to Newfoundland, they didn't find much. You know, that's just the way that goes sometimes. But the reality of things is that this is how this is. Christian people take this message seriously because we love the world. And we know it because God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. He gave us his only begotten Son. And he rose from the grave, and he took us with him, that we would live with him in the heavenlies. And Paul even says we're already seated there, quantum locality. And we can't understand it, we can't see it, but it is the truth that we live in. And this is what Jesus gave us on this day. And you understand, you know, you read through those Psalms. I would have had you read all those Psalms, you know, the Hallel, because that's what Jesus actually sang the night in which he was betrayed. He actually sang all those words. And here's some of them that he sang. Psalm 116:13, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon your name." And now you understand what he was doing on the cross. "I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon your name. My God, why have you forsaken me? I will call upon you." And he says also in Psalm 118:21, "I will praise you, for you heard my voice and have become my salvation." And now you understand, this is what he was doing on that cross. He was crying out to God for us to save. And he knew that God would grant him that salvation, that he would give him salvation, so that when he rose, he would have salvation to give, that he would give salvation to the human race. And now you understand. This is what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5. In verse 21, he says, "For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we would be made the righteousness of God in him." And that's what this is all about. Do you realize today you are the righteousness of God in him? When he rose from that grave, he made us to be the righteousness of God in him. That in the fullness of all of this, that we would know the joy of his salvation, that we would know his peace, and we would know that life. And that would free us from our anxiety and fear, which plagues us all of our lives, like it says in Hebrews, the fear of death. That free of that, we would now be free for the world. And we would manifest his glory to everyone around us. That the gospel would come off of our lips to every living thing. And that's why John writes in 1 John, in the 3rd chapter, he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. He said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every human being that has this hope in themselves purifies themselves, even as he is pure. Now you understand. I'm not telling you to look in the mirror out of any arrogance or conceitedness. I'm telling you to look in the mirror and understand this is what he's talking about. Every human being who is in Christ Jesus has purified themselves. They are purified through the blood of the Lamb. And by the purified blood of the Lamb, we are pure, even as he is pure. The righteousness of God we have become, so that the glory of God we would see. And you see, if we can understand that, then we can minister to the world. And that's why Jesus said that. When we understand that, then we can minister to the world. Because I am by nature a scumbucket. But the fact of the matter is, the grace of God takes all of that away and makes us full and pure in his sight. And we have been lied to for years, even within the church, to try to make us miserable. You know, I always do the Monty Python thing. You walk around, smack yourself with a 2x4 all day. You know, and that somehow is supposed to make God happy. It doesn't. Because God in his grace purified us so that we would be the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And we would live in a new life. So happy Easter. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. It's living a new life. It's being found in that new life and giving God the glory that is due him for that life and living that life. Not looking over our shoulder all the time. Not looking at failure or what we haven't done right. But looking constantly to the Jesus Christ who has risen from the grave, who now indwells us by his Holy Spirit. And we live. You see, the message of Easter is the gift of life. It's life. It's understanding life. And then it's no good if we don't live it. You know, a life that you put up on the shelf is kind of silly. You know, it's nice. Look at it and say, well, that'd be nice. No. Just take that sucker down. You know, you're done with that. You're living it now. Live it. Live it to the glory of God. Get up in the morning and understand you're the offspring of the Most High God. And don't accept any of the lies that come in to tell you, well, if you try a little harder, or, you know, if you'd work a little bit more. No. That's nonsense. Live the life that is given you. That's what he's talking about here. You go. He says, you just go. You go into all the world. And you bring that gospel to all of creation. You bring that creation, that good news. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when he talks about this, he says, we need to make the gospel so beautiful. And this is what the resurrection does. It makes the gospel so beautiful that people just want it, that they desire it. And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and they tell me, well, that would be really nice. You know, it sounds really nice and I'd really like it if that would all work, but it can't be that way. Well, not only can it be that way, it is. And the empty tomb is the witness to it. And if we will, but by God's grace, partake of that gift, our life will be filled forever, forever. A life that doesn't end. And that's the point of Easter. You see, nothing changed. Nothing changed, I hate to tell you, you know. In quantum time, yeah, it works all the time. In our time, nothing changed. Yesterday was the same. Jesus was just as risen yesterday as he is today. You know, he's been risen for 2,000 years in our time. And the transformation that he wrought is complete. But the transformation isn't distant. It's not out there in the ether someplace. The transformation is within us. And it's done. the two transformations, his in humbling self into a servant, and ours into being raised as the exalted children of God, are one. One transformation. And we are all alive in Christ Jesus. And the gospel is our means of ministering to the world. And what we bring the world is this delicious five-letter word, grace. Grace. And can it be? You gotta love that song. Love that song. And can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? In the UP, we say, you betcha. You betcha. Yep, you betcha, hey. That's exactly what happened. So that we would live. And we would live our lives to the glory of God. But we would not now live for ourselves, but we live for one another, and we live for the world. And we live because he lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, this is indeed your gift. And it is one that you wanted us to have all the way from eternity, that we would know and live in the joy of our salvation. We pray, Father, that every day, day in and day out, our eyes would be constantly fixed on the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus the Christ. And having our eyes so fixed upon him that we would know our sins have been taken away. We are washed in his blood. We are blameless in your sight. And your peace fills our heart through your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that that word of that gospel would once again would be so beautiful, so glorious, that people would simply reach out to take it, and that you would fill their hands with it and fill their hearts and fill their lives. And Father, we pray that day in and day out, you would keep us as well. In days of difficulty, that you would keep our eyes ever fixed, that, Father, so we would see your glory around us and in us, and hallow your name as we ought, for Jesus' sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.